It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Mango and Chime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI, taking you right up until 1 o'clock. Long show today, Mango. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
What up? What up?
How are you? How was Florida?
I'm doing so excellent. I was flexing in Florida last weekend.
Nice.
Got some vitamin D. Nice.
Nice. Nailed it.
It was lovely. Good. I'm not really a Florida person.
Really?
I'm going to be honest. I don't golf. I don't know anything about boats. Always happy to go out on somebody's boat. But for somebody from Maryland, I don't know crap about boats. And
that's
I really enjoyed it down there for 4 days. And I think that's about how long I can do Florida.
So Florida for you is like Vegas. It's like 4 days and I'm good.
Kind of. Yeah. Like at this time of year, it's such a delightful break. Mm-hmm. But I'm much more of a Maine or Carolinas girl.
I get that. That's especially during the summer. Maine is great.
Maine is the best.
It's phenomenal. My mother lives down in Florida, so I am down there constantly. So I'm kind of just used to it. The highways and the driving, I couldn't live without.
That's kind of what kills it for me.
Yeah.
It kills the vibe a little bit.
It's gross. It's not enjoyable at all. But the beaches are very nice. It's wonderful.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Great bars. Love an outdoor tiki bar.
So lots of craft beer spots, too.
We're doing a lot of that. I was in St. Pete's. I did not know that they had like a whole strip of bars and saw some bachelorette parties try to conquer in a mechanical bull.
Yep.
So that was a great time.
We, the last couple Mother's Days, when I've gone down to visit my mother in Florida, we've gone to brunch in St. Pete.
Lovely.
So, yeah, it's a beautiful spot. But Mego and Chime here. We're going to be talking a lot of Celtics and Patriots this 1 hour that we've got leading up until Red Sox baseball. Speaking of the Boston Celtics, they have officially sold to Bill Chisholm.
Well, barring approval from the NBA government.
Yes, of course. Barring approval from the NBA. And Wick will remain as governor and CEO for the next 3 years, correct?
That's what's expected.
And Wick joined us on the Greg Hill Show just yesterday, gave us a lot of good insight. And there were a lot of things kind of that you can pick out of the interview. And I want to just start, Mego, with your initial reaction to Bill Chisholm, the emphasis they have put on him being a North Shore guy, a local guy who's a huge fan of the Celtics, and the $6.1 billion sale price that they came up with.
Chizzy B is what I want to call him now.
Chizzy B.
Yeah, coming from Georgetown. Hot off the streets out of Dartmouth.
Yep.
Shout out Hanover, New Hampshire. I was looking up a lot of him over the last couple of days.
Deep dive.
Wharton School grad.
Yep.
So big time smarty MBA guy.
Smarty pants.
Like all these owners. On its face, It looks like a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
He has a lot of groups around him within his investment group. So it's not just him, obviously.
Yep.
He's got Rob Hale, which is great news for the morning show.
Very much
it
so.
He remains, seems like a minority owner. And then there's like Sixth Street. There's a couple of other little factors to this investment group. So it's not just him, but it seems like he's taking the WIC seat in ownership terms of being the face of the ownership group.
Mm-hmm.
So what is interesting for me here to parse out is how much of this investment is his, and there's a lot of conflicting reports that are already coming out about this. How much likelihood is there that Wick Grossbeck is going to turn around and reinvest whatever profits he gets from this sale, from his percentage of the Celtics that he owns apart from his dad, Irv? Like, is he going to then be another minority owner within this group? Was that a big part of it? What was happening between Wick and Pags? We have a lot of...
Yeah, the Pags statement felt very
jaded. We have a lot of reports
jaded.
Coming out about that. I think this sale, having a local who's from the North Shore, a lot of people are really excited about that. And I think that's great. You know, keep it in the backyard. Somebody who understands the franchise,
yep,
understands what it means to people around here. But I also think it seems to lend like some complications to the way that the Celtics always operate, which on the one hand is unique and fabulous, and on the other hand is kind of like this big, you know, giant extended family where everybody is like one or two degrees separated from something.
Yes.
And so you can look at that and say, like, I love the continuity. You love the idea that Wick is going to remain governor and CEO for 3 years. And that he's saying he wants to extend the championship window, saying all the right things. But then it's also like, well, how is there no place for Pags? I kind of feel for Pags.
Do you? Like, I mean.
You don't?
It's just, I mean, it's billionaires fighting over money. Like, I'm, you know, it's unfortunate that he.
You know what? You're right. Let's not feel bad.
They have gajillion. They have so much more money than I'll ever understand and be able to comprehend in my life. Like $6.1 billion. I believe that is the highest price a sports franchise has sold for up to this point. Correct? It's a new record?
Right over the Commanders,
yep,
who were 6.05. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's what Shaughnessy wrote. And
okay,
I think that this is the best way that he describes it, as somebody who knows both parties, or I don't know if he knows Chizzy B, but mm-hmm, he certainly knows Wick and he knows Pags.
Definitely.
And reached out to both sides. This is what Shaughnessy wrote yesterday. We have the awkward mix of personalities. Wick Grossbeck and Pagliuca hardly knew one another before joining to purchase the team in 2002. Self-made Pags came into the deal with his own money, but was ever marginalized by Grossbeck, who brought a much smaller amount to the table but had controlling interests due to his dad's immense wealth. Pags never commented about the disproportion of investment, and Wick Grossbeck happily became identified as the team's owner for more than two decades. It was only after the sale was announced last summer that it was learned Wick Grossbeck owned less than 2% of the team. That sounds like, from Shaughnessy's perspective, like, That's kind of dueling sides in a way that,
like,
I didn't expect.
It sounds like Pags resented Wick a little bit.
Yes.
Like, and I think that's why the statement from Pags felt like he was jaded, like he was kind of upset with the situation. And so I also wanted to pose this question. We don't know exactly what Pags' offer was, correct?
Correct. But Shaughnessy does say in this column that his was less than Chisholm's.
Okay, because I was curious if they were open to the idea of Chisholm even more so than Pags, even if it was a little less money, specifically because of the fact that Chisholm's a whole new operating body that the Wick
but he's
can
not.
Be.
He has like Rob Hale staying on.
That's what I kind of mean. Like, whereas if Pags was taking over, Wick and Rob may have been almost immediately pushed out. And I was wondering, like, if Pags and Chisholm had equal offers, or even Pags was better, if the Grossbeck still would have gone with Chisholm, knowing that Wick and Rob Hale still would have been involved going forward.
You're saying, is it just about whether Wick gets to stay CEO and governor?
More or less, yeah.
Well, if you look at the way that these things have worked out, I would guess, not having the inside information, that there is something in writing saying that Wick is going to stay on. I would guess that the way that they're presenting this in a press release together,
yeah,
with Wick being the first quote in that press release,
and their first appearance on NBC Sports Boston,
mm-hmm,
being together,
that Wick has every legal intention of staying in that spot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to be like the Mavericks situation where Mark Cuban tells everybody how much he loves the basketball team he just sold and that he's going to stay on, and then is disappears.
Yep.
And then everything goes to hell.
And immediately separates himself when Luka gets traded.
Right. I don't think it's that situation. I just think it's unusual. We'll have to see how it works out in terms of somebody, you know, somebody handling all the operational stuff or being the face of this operational stuff when somebody else owns it for $6.1 billion. And again, that maybe goes into, is this just a completely reconfigured ownership group without the elder Grosbeck in it? Is this a way then of bringing all these groups of people who can bring wealth to the table,
mm-hmm.
and Wick maybe gets to buy his way back into that group and remain involved somehow
as some kind of minority owner,
or, you know, who knows, some kind of partner in operations with how they're going to spend, how they're going to do the budget. I don't know.
Well,
maybe that's part of it.
And it also sounds like they were operating under the impression that they wanted to make sure whoever did come in was familiar with who was currently in charge across the board. So, like, Brad Stevens met with every candidate, according to reports, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I think that mattered to them, that, like, Brad met every individual owner.
Oh,
was like,
yeah.
Look, here's the plan. Here's how we're operating. Because Wick, even when he joined the Greg Hill Show, said, like, Brad's going to work his magic this offseason.
Yeah.
Like,
how
which is
that?
A clear indication that moves will be made to reduce the team salary and then allow Brad to continue operating and the new ownership to immediately trust Brad to do his job appropriately.
Yeah, Wick said that these other teams, if you look at what the Clippers just did, they're trying to get away from the second apron. Everybody's going to spend a max 2 years in the second apron. We're going to try to extend our window because we have the executive of the year in Brad Stevens. I'm like, man, it's a good thing Stevens, like, enjoys the heat
yes.
of that.
No kidding.
That's a difficult situation to be put in.
Yep. And I think it's going to be interesting. How do you expect them to navigate this? Is this a, like, I know Jones and Keefe were asking the question this week, would you rather keep Drew Holiday, Kristaps Porzingis? I mean, what you've seen Kristaps Porzingis do, especially like on a game like last night where he said he felt like and yet he still goes out and drops 27, 10, and 6. Is your focus there on Porzingis or Drew, or maybe you don't even need to move anybody? Like, where is your head at when it comes to actually Brad Stevens needing to make these moves come the offseason?
The biggest factor to me is keeping together the Jays and the core of the Jays. And I think we take that for granted around here because we've seen them together for so many seasons now.
Well, and we've been calling for Jaylen Brown to get traded for years.
And because now they're both entering the Supermax. But that's really what it comes down to for me. Like, watching the game earlier this week where both Jays were out, and that was such a rare instance. It was the first time it's happened this season. We hear people talk about, like, oh, if Peyton Pritchard was a starting point guard, like, would he be on a team that's going to the playoffs? Like, maybe, but without the Jays, Drew Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis are champs, excellent, extremely elite players, but the Jays are the core of your team.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to me, everybody else, unfortunately, like, in my opinion, is somebody that you can
expendable.
Look at. And there's different cases of this where Derek White, every year, becomes more and more and more important to this team.
Absolutely.
And it reaches another level where you don't think he's going to go from where he started. And so maybe that's a little bit of a different case, but I think it's just a question of how do you keep those two Supermax players on this team? How do you make sure that they're both still invigorated and invested in this franchise and not falling into what we see a lot of NBA players, which is, well, what if I go over there and start a completely new chapter?
So does this feel now, though, in this season with the sale going through and knowing that cuts and moves are on the horizon, does it now feel more important than ever for the Celtics to win?
I think it's always been important.
It's always been important, but it seems like,
what, is it like last dancing?
No, I'm not saying it's like last opportunity, but do you feel like there's even added pressure now knowing that this team will look different at the start of next season?
No.
No,
I don't think so. No, I think that the pressure has been the same the entire season, which is it's so difficult for an NBA team to run it back and defend the title. And you paid a lot of money to run it back and do just that. And yeah, ownership's handing over, and that'll probably all happen after the finals because it sounds like they just, listening to Wick, they don't expect to execute any of that at that point. But I don't think it changes. Like, there's this weird idea out there that us reporters after games are like waving our hands in the air and being like, hey, Tatum, are you thinking about the sale? Like in January, that hasn't happened.
Yeah.
Like we don't ask the players about this stuff because it's not attached to them. And if it was.
Well, that's not necessarily true.
Right now, it's not. I mean, look, you have the news coming out. And when you have the news of the sale last summer, yeah, that's something that like deserves comment.
But, sure, but Wick even said when he talked to us yesterday that he talked specifically with Jason.
Because he sold the team. I'm saying, like, I've heard some people be like, well, this is like a weight off the shoulders of the players.
No,
the players aren't thinking about that. Like, they're not thinking about that. They're out there thinking about the rehab that they had to do with the trainers in the back and what the upcoming slate of games is and what's going on at home and stuff. Like, they're not sitting there going like, well, I wonder if Bezos is involved in this.
Well, no, and yeah, I guess they don't care if Bezos is involved. I guess, and you know, you're in the locker room far more often than I have ever been. But I would just think that knowing that there is a sale and knowing that, like, the former owner is saying publicly there are changes to come, I feel like that if a player were to hear that, like, that would weigh on them a little bit, right? I feel like that would create added pressure. You don't believe that at all?
No. Right now, I don't. I just don't. I don't think that these guys are going in and out of the facility.
Especially with a team like Cleveland. Like, last year, it felt like a cakewalk. This year, you know, Cleveland has shown that they are legitimate competitors. OKC in the West looks awesome.
OKC is the scariest team in the league right now.
Without a doubt. They are phenomenal. And so, I just think knowing that there's legitimate contenders this year, mm-hmm. compared to kind of almost
but
how easy it was last year.
I think that's more what they're worried about than sitting here and going, oh man, we got Jason Supermax is kicking in, and what are they going to do? Are they going to, they say they're not going to stay in the second apron. I heard 2 years. Like, no, I don't think that they're looking at it that way. I think that they're looking at, damn, it's like really hard to get back to the finals, and what a slog it's been to try to get through the regular season because we just want to get to the playoffs and get there.
And if you're Jaylen Brown, you just want to be healthy enough to play in the playoffs at this point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jaylen Brown will miss tomorrow night's game in Portland. The Celtics released a statement yesterday saying that he would miss last night's game and Sunday's game and then be reevaluated Monday. And he has a bone bruise.
Ouch. Yeah. Have you ever had one of those?
A contusion? No.
No, it's different than a contusion, isn't it?
Isn't a contusion just a bone bruise?
I thought a contusion was just a fancy word for bruise.
I thought they were synonymous. I might be wrong.
A bone bruise is, yikes.
Yeah, that sounds miserable.
I've had
miserable.
Those from lacrosse on occasion, and it is not fun.
Yeah, you take like a lacrosse ball off the thigh or something?
Or just somebody's stick.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Google AI says that a contusion and a bruise are essentially the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know if it necessarily means a bone bruise.
That's true, because a regular bruise is superficial, whereas bone bruise is on the bone, as the word was.
I played with this one girl who got so many bone bruises, she had to wear like this plastic piece of armor on her arm.
Really? Well, so I think, too, that's probably why a lot of baseball players wear like the wrist guards and stuff at the plate, because if you take a fastball there, that's immediate bone bruise.
This was just somebody putting, like, basically smacking her with a lacrosse stick, because there's this idea that girls don't have contact in lacrosse. They do.
So the word bruise and contusion synonymous, so it would just be a bone contusion, but bone bruise and bruise or contusion, two different things. There you go. According to the internet.
Okay, glad we got that sorted.
Yep, there you go. 617-779-7937. It's Shime and Mego here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. We're going to continue a little bit with the Celtics conversation. I think Wick made a very interesting comment about the idea of a new arena in Boston for your Boston Celtics. We'll get into that next here on WEEI. But right now, Jacob is going to get
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Caught up with what's trending. That was Wick Grosbeck, governor and CEO of the Boston Celtics, on with the Greg Hill Show yesterday morning. If you missed that, you can check out the podcast, or you can go on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Just type in WEEI, find the Greg Hill Show. You can go back and listen to that with the wonderful Odyssey Rewind feature. Mego, he claims that there's not enough room in the city for two stadiums.
Room.
Not enough room in this town for
no,
the two of
us. You say room.
Room?
Not enough room in this town.
Is that room?
Room. Room.
Room.
Room. Room. You got a problem with how Jones pronounces Chizzy.
Oh man, this drives me nuts. I'm in the car yesterday, just pulled into a Target parking lot. I'm listening to Jones and Keefe on my radio because great show, Grab Bag 130 every day. Phenomenal segment. But anyways, listening to Jones and Keefe talk about the sale of the Celtics, and Jones says Chisholm. I was screaming at my radio.
Chisholm.
Chisholm.
Yeah.
Billy Chisholm.
Like it's Chisholmgren.
Yes, exactly. It's like Chisholmgren. I don't understand it.
Take those things out all the time and he just goes, kerp.
It's one of those like little pet peeves. It was driving. It's really not a hard name to say. Chisholm. It's all one word.
Like Chisholm. Schism.
Yes, like schism.
Chisholm.
Exactly. It's like one syllable. It's not two. Chisholm.
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 It's got a very hard L. Can I tell you one thing that's really been pissing me off today and yesterday?
Please.
This
yes.
is not sports related.
Air it out.
But it is like, okay. We need to conquer how smartphones are making everybody much stupider in real time.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
Like not just worries about, will the generation under us and the generation after that and the generation after that
in
continue to get dumber because of their smartphone. But we are watching people who previously had common sense act dumber as the days go on. There have been two instances today and yesterday where I was driving in my car. And it's a green light, and not just like the light has changed from red to green, like an active green light with cars going through, and somebody is walking across the road looking at their phone. Yesterday, it was headphones in, like stupid little AirPods, which is also ruining society, looking at the phone, crossing. And I'm like, I'm laying on the horn because I'm not going to hit you.
Absolutely.
But the person behind me doesn't. Like, they're probably on their phone, too.
Yep.
You're crossing the street. Like, didn't we all grow up looking left to right? Sometimes you have to hold mom's hand.
Also, I assume you're driving
street.
In the city of Boston, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so aren't there,
this is
you know,
in
giant,
Boston.
Like, giant, like, blinking lights that say walk or don't walk?
Well, nobody pays attention to those.
Well,
I mean,
well,
that's been going on forever. But this is like somebody who's so absorbed in a TikTok video or the Pat McAfee show or something that they're just like cruising across the street. And I'm like, holy hell, guys. Like, you can't just walk whenever. This is not your college campus. And I'll say all ages. It's not
True.
Just Gen Z. It's
nope.
not just millennials.
I'm part of the problem here, Mego. I'm not going to lie.
Dude, you are going to get
Jacob.
Hit by a freaking car. Like, it scares the crap out of me.
Don't admit that, Jacob.
It happened in Southie on the way over here. This, I would guess, 50-year-old man has huge, like, very expensive, you know, the Apple headphones that have
AirPod
like the,
Maxes. I own a pair.
Are they the big square ones?
Yeah.
I don't think that they have any ambient sound in them. And he's
they
like
can.
Walking across the street and there's a freaking ambulance flying down the street.
Oh,
I'm
yes.
like, we need to have some awareness around
when
us.
When you're walking on any street, you got to have your head on a swivel.
Yeah.
Like always. Always head on a, I mean, I try to have my head on a swivel at all times, but like especially like, I go out and I walk the dog all the time.
Yeah.
You have to know if a car is coming up behind you because I need to make sure my dog's not walking out in the middle of the road because he just, likes to trot along. I don't know why he loves to walk in the middle of the street.
It's bad enough that when you walk down the sidewalks,
yeah,
people just bump into you, and I'm guilty. I've done this in the stairs in this building where I was reading a text on my phone and I almost walk into somebody, and it's so embarrassing. When you're out amongst the cars in the city, keep your freaking head up. Like, it's happened twice in the last 2 days. Anyways, I just had to vent for that. Because
it's okay.
It's concerning. People are going to start
getting cleaned out like they're running into Ray Lewis over the middle of the field.
It's crazy. It is crazy. Mm. Head
always,
on a swivel.
Yeah,
Jacob,
always.
I'm worried about you now.
Yeah,
you need to protect yourself.
You got to be more careful,
Jacob.
Take
the phones off. Or if you have the phones on, you got to choose one or the other. If you're walking around with the pods in or the phones on, the cans on your ears, you got to be looking around.
Well, so that's my thing is if I'm out walking, it's phone in pocket, but I got the music on. I got my headphones on, but it's the not noise canceling setting so that I can actually hear other things that are also going on around me. Keep your head on a swivel.
Yeah.
Put the phone in the pocket.
Anyway, that's
my problem. It's the noise canceling mode. I got to stop doing that. You guys are right.
You're right. Save the noise canceling for when you're like on a plane or in a library.
In your home.
Yeah, in your home.
Your significant other is talking to you.
Yeah, oh, great. You're cooking dinner. Throw the noise cancelers on. Trust me, it's a godsend. It's going to save your marriage.
I feel like I've also unlocked something dangerous in my house where when I vacuum, I've been putting the phones on my ears and like listening to a podcast while I vacuum because there's nothing more boring than vacuuming. It's just loud.
Annoying.
But then I realized my husband started putting them on when he's like cooking and stuff. And I'm like, why are you doing that? And he's like, I don't know if you want to listen to what I want to listen to. And I said, no, I'm doing that because I'm vacuuming and it's annoying. I don't want you to be walking around our house with earphones on, not listening to me.
Yeah, well, I love to do it while I'm cooking because I like to like set the mood while I'm cooking. And
but you play a little music aloud.
Yeah, but
for
then,
everybody.
But then my fiance will like yell from the other room and I'm deaf and can't hear. And so then I'm
You're
just screaming,
deaf what? Because you got so huge phones on your ears.
No. I'm deaf because I grew up in a household with an actually deaf brother who wears hearing aids, and so everybody just yells.
Okay.
And so my hearing is just gone. It's bad. And that's it's not as bad as Ken Laird's, though. I have to turn down these headphones every time I sit here. But regardless, then people are yelling over music, and I can't concentrate. And I'm like, all right, I'm just going to throw the headphones on. Keep it simple.
I just think
focus up.
I think we're all developing some pretty bad habits, and I'm concerned for all of us.
Fair enough. And you know what? That's probably why we can't have two arenas in Boston. Create more foot traffic, more people watching their phones instead of watching the streets. Not enough people keeping their head on a swivel.
Look, I think that first of all, having Wick on yesterday, like huge win for the Greg Hill Show. I understand like having
Wick
him on
awesome
in the playoffs.
Too. He's so good.
But getting him that day, hey, set in the dialogue for the city. But him saying there's only room for one arena in town, super revealing, and I think accurate. And let me
explain
why. I don't think, well, first of all, I think probably there's a position where it's not really his business to say as much because he doesn't own that arena. And
sure.
So that's why I think he kept deferring to the Jacobses.
Yep.
Because it's really Delaware North's business.
Yep.
But the amount of stuff that you have to do when it's the off season, I think people take for granted. And
I think that excuse he gave of needing to fill it with concerts and stuff is baloney.
Why?
Because I think there are a zillion concerts and you could absolutely fill an arena.
There's also a zillion concert halls that just opened up around here. We talk about them, like the MGM Music Hall, Roadrunner.
But that's small, like Roadrunner also small. Like an actual arena is a much bigger opportunity.
I know,
and it gives you...
What's the question is how many groups today can fill those arenas?
Oh, there's so many. I mean, think of how many you get at the TD Garden already. And there's two teams that play in that building. I mean, when the Celtics are on road trips and stuff, you could be filling that arena with concerts constantly. Constantly.
I think it's probably... I feel like I understand why some people would look at that and say that might be more trouble than it's worth.
I mean, maybe. But if you're paying $6.1 billion for a franchise, I would want an arena because then I can recoup a lot of that money by having concerts and such, like comedians and concerts and all kinds of different Disney on Ice, WWE, you name it, you're going to fill the arena. And I think there's plenty of opportunity for that.
I guess. I think it's kind of like starting a whole other business on top of the business of basketball, though.
Sure, but I, But if you know that going into it, if you're buying a franchise, right?
Right.
Like if you buy when was it Josh Harris who bought the Commanders? When
yes.
Josh Harris buys the Commanders, he knows that for a half of the year, we're not using this stadium.
But
I'm going to sell it out to concerts and
but
stuff.
They need a new stadium. I mean, that's
true.
A completely,
yeah, that
I don't
stadium's
think
falling apart.
That can really be compared.
But regardless, you have a stadium where Kenny Chesney and Luke Combs and Post Malone and Kendrick Lamar, all of them are just going to come through and
I
do
also,
shows.
I'm just like not about stadium concerts.
I love stadium concerts.
Ugh, it is not my speed
I used
at
to
all.
Go to Country Fest all the time. I don't anymore. I've grown out of it. But I used to go like every year.
I guess Country Fest, something like that, is a little different.
The tailgating?
Because you get to have a variety of artists. But I've been to a couple stadium shows. I've never been to a show at Gillette, but I've been to a couple stadium shows and I'm just like, I don't know. I like feeling closer to the stage.
I like being
in that vibe more.
MGM Fenway might be the best arena for your money, like I personally, because it's
I love that one
big enough that you can have a lot of people, but small enough where it feels quaint and you feel like close to the artist, and it feels intimate is the word I would use, and it's awesome. I love that space. I've seen a bunch of people there already, but like I saw Bruce Springsteen at Gillette, amazing. It was so good.
Well, he's gonna be good anywhere.
Yeah, but it just. I mean, I've seen a handful of people at Gillette, and it's been awesome. And again, like I think the tailgating experience makes it even 10 times better.
I feel like the biggest that I like to go for a show like that is Aganis.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like
okay.
I don't really want to go bigger than that. I understand the idea. Like I've been in instances where I've had like a suite at TD Garden, and that's fun in a different way. It just doesn't really feel like you're part of the show the way if you're at an MGM Music Hall or any of these other places that, quite frankly, we're giving free advertising to. And yeah. What are we doing, Shine?
I don't know. I will tell you though, the best place to see a concert on the beach.
What do you mean?
Ocean City, Maryland.
Oh,
I went
right.
to a festival.
You were talking about that festival.
And it is outstanding.
It's
so good.
That sounds really fun.
Also, Fenway in the city, amazing venue to see a concert.
You know
amazing.
What else is completely underrated? And maybe the Celtics can like start a side business on this. Beach bonfires.
Oh, tremendous.
The best. And I think maybe if we just have like a Celtics beach bonfire every time that they win the finals, that could be like a new tradition that
growing
we start.
Growing up, my family and...
We got a North Shore guy now. Maybe we go up on the North Shore.
There you go. Growing up, my family and like friends had the Duxbury Beach passes. You can drive right up on the beach.
Love that.
Set up like a nice fire pit. You're good to go. Like, and just make some s'mores.
That is truly the best of New England.
It is 100%.
I'm so ready for summer. I'm so ready for the NBA playoffs. I'm so ready for summer. I feel for the Celtics because they're on the longest road trip of the season out west. And I died last night when Kristaps Porzingis, when he was in his walk-off interview with Abby Chin, and she's asking about it, and he's like, yeah, we're playing some teams that aren't the best quality. I'm like, Kristaps, and he's like, by the way, I feel awful, but yeah, I guess I'm averaging 25 a game right now. I'm like, I love Kristaps.
He's the best. 617-779-7937. Dan in Rhode Island wants to talk Celtics. What's up, Dan?
Good afternoon. Megan, for summer preview, I was down in Narragansett Beach walking my dog. It was 60 degrees. Oh, there's already people
nice.
Out there in bikinis sitting outside.
Love it.
Little over the top, but it's coming. It's not that far away. Look, I just want to talk about from a perspective what you guys were just saying. The return on investment for a purchase nowadays, like compared to what, you know, the Crafts paid and what the Wisp Grossbecks paid 20 years ago, I think it's almost impossible to think that even though things still go up, it's not going to appreciate from like $7 billion to $20 billion in 20 years. It just, that you know.
I mean, it might, Dan, right? I mean, we're going to have our first player get paid $1 billion in no time at this rate.
We always say the money, where is the feeling for this stuff? But don't you think the way the media has changed, like the way people consume sports is changing also the revenue streams for a lot of these sports in general, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That was always what people could fall back on. And it's just, I don't know, like you're going to get some of these, like the way baseball does it, football's doing it. They're kind of like piecemealing everything. And I just don't know if the people are going to be able to consume it the way that they once did. I just don't know. I just can't see that the money that is going to be there like the way it once was, or the growth potential isn't the where it once was.
All right, Dan, thanks for the call. Yeah, maybe the potential for growth isn't quite as high as it was when the Grosbecks bought it, but it's still there. I mean, you see all of the broadcasting deals, I'll say. It's not even TV deals anymore. It's broadcasting deals that all these sports make. It's the money is astronomical, and that money's only going to continue to rise as those broadcasters compete for the rights. Like, if you have Peacock and Netflix fighting over it, they're just going to keep trying to outbid each other. It's a supply and demand thing. There's only a few different broadcasters, and if they're fighting over the same programming, then one of them is eventually just going to blow you away with a number, and it's going to continue to get higher and higher and higher as you go on.
Yeah, I'm no expert on this side of things, but it's interesting to me when you look at how do you differentiate anything that we still think of as TV, as broadcast, as linear television versus streaming on demand? You're buying 100 different apps and maybe you're just watching it on your phone when you're at the gym.
Yeah.
It's all live events.
Sports is the only live event we watch anymore.
Yeah, unless you're somebody who watches like the State of the Union and the Oscars, and that's an increasingly aging...
And that's what, once a year, twice a year?
...group, which I don't like disparage. I still watch that stuff because I like watching live events, but I do think, again, not being an expert in this area, there's still a reason, even though people love to talk about declining ratings for the NBA, there's still a reason why a lot of different groups are trying to grasp onto live events.
Yeah. Rob in Swampscott thinks we're whining about the Celtics. Go ahead,
Probably,
Rob.
Probably, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not saying you're whining about the Celtics. What I told the call screener was you're coming across as very whiny.
Why is that?
And the reality is
my voice sounds.
So here's some reality, and let's go through this real quick and not debate it. Are there more people in Boston today than there were 20 years ago?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Are there more buildings in Boston today than there were 20 years ago?
Yep.
Okay. Ergo, there's less space today than there was 20 years ago to build a building to house that kind of a thing.
Yeah, but now, Rob, wouldn't you agree, though, there is still space to build something, right?
No, there isn't. Have you driven around Boston lately, or do you just take the T? There's no room to build anything. Where?
You think I take the T? The T doesn't work.
Where you could build something. Where are you going to build something? Go ahead. I'm all ears.
Well, thanks for the call, Rob. Courtney has even brought up before, behind the convention center, there's like a huge space there. I mean,
Lord, please don't do that.
You don't have to do it right in downtown Boston. You can do it in the Boston Metro. Like, if you make something in Quincy, you can still access it via Boston public transport or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be in downtown Boston.
We're also pretending like other cities don't essentially demolish parts of neighborhoods to build stadiums.
100%. If they find some sort of real estate.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think Wick is telling you that there's not an intention to build another stadium. And honestly, I'm fine with that.
And you're probably right. There's intention. I just find it odd that you're selling. I mean, Matt Ishbia buys the Suns for $4.1 billion and he gets a WNBA team and an arena and an NBA
team.
But
the Suns ain't the Celtics.
I understand that, but $6.1 billion and you don't even have an own stadium?
I know. I hear you. And I think that the way that these deals are made, like, it's very beneficial to the NBA who want to have
an
expansion team, and it's very beneficial to all the other owners.
Yeah, so, I think Bill Simmons said they wanted it to be around this six number for when they get that expansion team, so that makes
and
sense.
And so, like, I believe that, and I want to see the money go towards players and keeping the players happy, and so if that means that there's not going to be an arena in Dorchester, I'm fine with that. Like, I'm good.
It's Mego and Chime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. One more segment to go until we get to Red Sox baseball on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Mego and Chime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. A few minutes away from Red Sox Rays here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. A little spring training action for you. But before we get out of here, Mego, I want to hit on Steph Diggs and the Patriots.
Yeah.
Steph Diggs came in the other day for a visit, met with the team, kind of had dinner with the team, and then reportedly left. You got my contact. I got your contact. Out the door he went. No contract offer. Contacts, no contracts. If you're the New England Patriots, why'd you let him out the door? What was this? Was this a legitimate interest visit?
Yes.
Or was this a we need better pub on the receiver market visit and he needs to show other teams that he's available?
Really think that?
I,
Do people really think that they're trying to, like, get good press by putting that out there?
Well, it works for both sides, right? They look better because they're getting ripped for not getting a receiver.
These are two different
conversations. And he shows the rest of the NFL that he's available to be acquired.
These are two different conversations. Is Steph Diggs using the Patriots as leverage to try to get other offers or get higher offers? We've seen that happen with other receivers over the last 2 years.
Absolutely.
So I don't poo-poo that.
DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley.
At all. But the Patriots hosting him and going through medicals and a get-to-know-you visit for a day and a half to try to get good publicity, I don't buy that. I think that they are genuinely interested in him. They want to see where his knee is at, where he is in his process of getting back, and if it's on track, and if he's going to be somebody who can play in October here and somebody who can be a 1,000-yard receiver. Because, no, he's not going to be who he was 5 years ago.
Sure.
When he's got 1,500
receiving
yards.
Even last year, he was playing well before he got hurt.
Exactly. But can he be an upgrade to your receiver room? And by all accounts, down in Houston, like, very well liked. I know he has this reputation because he's been on three different teams by the time he hit 30. But I think that that was a legit visit. Why did he walk? I don't know. I don't know if that's because of something with the knee. I don't know if
it's that. But they didn't even offer a contract. It's one thing to get offered a contract and be like, I need to sit on this. But reportedly, they haven't even offered him a deal.
So he's 5 months removed from his ACL tear.
Sure.
He did it in week 8 of last season. So yep. I don't know exactly what the math with that would be. I think it's kind of like a risky move from the Patriots if they don't know what the knee is. If they don't have an idea, he's 31.
But they ran medicals,
he's
right?
31
like that
years
was the
old.
Whole point of bringing him
right,
in.
Right, but we act like do you think that they just take the little, I don't know what it's called, the little doctor hammer, and they like hit
no,
his
but
knee,
they can,
and
they're they
like,
an, they have
the
an x-ray machine
jumps,
in the building.
Good.
They
yeah.
can do they can do x-rays. They can
MRIs.
Have him do a couple drills if they need to, like if
yeah.
he's capable of it.
I'm sure they put him through the paces, but I kind of think that if they had made the deal on the spot, that would have been like, wow, that would have been a bigger shock than he walked out of the building and they don't have a deal yet.
Yeah, I crashed out earlier this week because this team just refuses to sign receivers, trade for them, do anything.
You know
to
what?
Acquire
I'll call up
talent.
My brother because that's his guy. So,
oh, you're right. Yeah. You said your brother played with him in high school?
Yeah, my brother was his high school teammate. So
that's
we'll
kind
see.
Of awesome.
We'll see what.
That's a flex.
We'll see what Pat Ottolini has to say on Steph Diggs.
Love it. Thanks for tuning in this morning to Mego and Shime, this afternoon. It was a quick one, but it's time for some Red Sox baseball right here on the Charleston Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, Red Sox and Rays. Tanner Houck on the mound. We'll talk to you next Saturday. See ya.